What is your biggest audio pet peeve?
Does that mean like you're listening to a podcast and it's a pet peeve with that, or what does that mean?
Yes.
So I think there's lots of podcasting pet peeves, right? One would be like the people that click their mouth all the time.
Ooh.
The people that say like or do like crazy long pauses for no reason that you can easily edit out. Those are kind of annoying. I don't know, people that don't put in good show notes, so they'll talk about something but then won't link to it, so you can't figure it out. Can't figure out what they're talking about. That's all annoying. Audio pet peeve, you know, there's different ones. Like when you're listening to a YouTube video and they're like mixed it so it's too much in one ear and not enough in the other. And you have to go to your settings and turn on mono audio and to fix it. And it's like, why didn't you do that in Premiere Pro at the beginning? And yeah, so there's lots of audio pet peeves for sure. What about you, Joe? What's your offending thing?
I when I can't hear a movie and have to turn on subtitles.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know. It sucks. I'm a simple man. That's mine. I don't know. But see, I feel like I'm going deaf because like I didn't used to need subtitles on everything, but now I feel like I do. But am I just used to it and I'm like reading everything? I don't know. And I feel horrible because I used to not watch like international movies that didn't speak English because I was like, I don't want to read the whole movie. But now I do that anyway with subtitles, you know? And it's like,
have you heard the theory that the people that don't like the subtitles just can't read fast enough?
That's actually really real. Well, it's just, I don't know. I am convinced that I don't have that bad of hearing. It's just that the people I'm around talk really soft.
Maybe you talk too loud.
Maybe I do. Do I talk loud?
No, not at all.
Would
you talk normal?
I talk normal.
I talk too soft all the time. Let's be real. And then Joe, you talk normal.
Well, I feel like if I was trending towards one, I would probably trend towards loud.
Probably. It depends on who you're around. Yeah. And there are people who will go unnamed who are loud all the time and like yelling in your ear.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't want that. But hey, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I do feel like if I'd gone to public school, I would have been like a theater kid kind of person, you know?
One of those kids.
Yeah.
There was a kid at church who I thought was homeschooled, and then a different kid was like, nah, he's just a theater kid. He gives off homeschool
vibes. See, I would have fit right in. Exactly.
I was like, I swear. It's like, I wasn't insulting him, but I literally said, I said these words, and then only later realized how they sounded. I said, wait, wasn't your mom homeschooled? And then I was like, well,
wow.
I realized the mistake I had made after the words left my mouth. It's like, no, I swear, I thought she was. I literally thought she was.
I got roasted.
And then he was like, no, she wasn't. And I was like, I'm pretty sure she was, but.
Wow.
Hey, he knows his own mom, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's okay. I just know that I love like music, and I do love musicals, as we have discussed in great detail.
But I'm still...
hurting, so saith Zachary.
Got it. Yeah, maybe I like good musicals, not like that one.
wow. Okay, all right, that's rough. I went through a Wicked phase. Did we ever talk about that?
Oh yeah, I thought we did, but yeah, Wicked is awesome. Wicked's great. What's the one where she's like elika knock and knock and knock and knock and melika knock it, and she's like doing the spell and stuff?
Oh, it's gosh, pretty good. I don't know, it's
no good deed goes unpunished. I think that's the one here. That one's really good.
I went and saw it. It was very happenstantial. That doesn't seem
circumstantial.
Like
happenstance.
Happenstantial.
Circumstantial. Happenstantial.
I don't know. But they. So we went to. So I was on. Do you remember Project Liberty? Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, because here's what it was. We talked about this. The real fans will know. We talked about this on the College Try.
Oh my goodness.
There was Project Liberty that was like the weird co-op off, and then I was part of the good co-op.
Oh okay.
And I didn't go on the trip, but both co-ops went on their respective trips to Washington D.C. And I want to say it was even at the same time. I could be wrong about that, but not that they would have seen each other, but they just were both on these trips. And then they were both competing to see who could like be the better co-op or whatever. And it was all very high school. Obviously, Sherwood Oaks co-op much better than the silly Project Liberty.
Sure. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good. But what about it? You went to see Wicked in Washington D.C. That's cool.
So we went to New York City, Philadelphia, and Washington D.C.
Very nice.
So I mean.
So pretty much.
Where did you go? I don't know.
Oh, just D.C. Well, I mean, I stayed in my room.
Cough, cough.
Everybody else went to Washington D.C.
Well, so. You didn't go on the trip.
I don't remember why. I think there was an actual reason why I couldn't. But I did not.
Interesting. I did not know that. I thought you went on the trip.
Nope. Still never been to D.C. I've never been to Boston in the fall.
You've never been.
It might be cool.
Dude, you should go to the East Coast. It is awesome. I love, D.C. is one of my favorite cities. It's so, like, especially because we went to New York City and then Philadelphia and then Washington, D.C. And so in succession, they got nicer because New York City is, like, disgusting.
Well, yeah, especially now. It's just like, you know. Yeah.
It's, and we went, I mean, this was 2018. We went in like March and it was just raining and cold and it was just disgusting. Like the sewer smelled off, or the subway smelled off.
It smelled like a sewer, I'm sure.
It did smell like a sewer. But while we were in New York, the reason I brought that up is because we went and saw Wicked. And I don't even think I knew we were doing it. They shuffled us into this like Broadway thing, and then I was like watching Wicked on Broadway, which was like crazy.
They didn't even warn you. You just walked into a room and suddenly Wicked was
playing. Yeah, they were like, sit down. And I was like, okay. And then the lights went down.
Did that actually happen?
That's flying amazing. Monkeys started. It was crazy. I mean, I'm probably remembering it not as accurately as it actually happened because my memory is not as good as it could be. But I just remember, like, I mean, I remember, like, some of the guys, like, went to sleep. They took a nap. You know what I mean? Like, they just didn't care. See, but it was, like, a part of the trip, and so.
I bet the Sherwood Oaks Club wouldn't have slept through. I bet they would have appreciated the work of art instead of dozing during the most.
Hey, I appreciated it. I had no idea what to expect, so I just, yeah, it was, and it was really, it was wonderful. It was really, really good. Anyway, what I remember more is that when I got back from that trip, the Superior East Coast trip that year, I was working at Crew Car Wash, you know, washing cars and stuff. And then, but like, I would listen to this soundtrack all the time, like literally all the time. I think what did you say your favorites were?
No Good Deed Goes Unpunished, I think is the name.
No
of
Good
that.
Deed. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Wizard and I is actually awesome.
The Wizard
there's
and
one,
I. Really
there's
good.
One chord, we probably can't find it easily, but there's one chord on the Wizard and I that's just like, oh, insane. It's like, that's an amazing chord, right?
It's
there.
Really good. Like, hang on. I kind of want to see if I can find it.
Yeah, me too.
Hang on, let's see here.
No, it's going to take a minute, but I bet I can find it first.
I have waited. Oh, it's so good. Live see, like I would have been a theater kid.
To appear.
I would have been a theater kid. Is it when it starts going crazy?
No.
It is really just a phenomenal musical. That's how.
Go to the part where it's like, oh, no. It's My Future is Unlimited. Go to My Future is Unlimited.
My Future is Unlimited. Oh, yeah.
There's like an insane chord substitution in there. It might not come through the speaker super well. I don't know if it came through the speaker into the mic, but there's a spicy like a chord. There's a spicy almost. Chord substitution on there. It's good stuff. Yeah.
I think that's gonna be like a minor five, like a slip down. Oh my goodness! And then it goes four. Then I think it's a minor four.
Yeah, it just walks straight down.
It's very chromatic and it's very beautiful. Man, that's a good one. My nose sounds like a literal trumpet. That was my nose.
So confused. I was very confused. So yeah, that's a good one. Wizard and I, obviously, like, Defying Gravity is good. Yeah, if not, you know, it's the obvious big one, whatever. It's good.
Dancing Through Life. Oh my gosh.
Dancing Through Life. For good, obviously. A classic. They on the deluxe version, they put like some techno thing of like the Defying Gravity that just, it sounds like so atrociously bad. It's like, something has changed within me. It's like, well, that's not good. I hate this. I hate every minute of this.
Oh, Wonderful. I love Wonderful.
I think I would have been a theater kid. I think I would have been a... Because me and the other theater...
You would have been like in the pit, like doing drums in the...
I think I would have. And me and the other...
Marimba or something?
Probably so. Like holding three mouths in one hand to get the chord.
Yeah, dude.
And then, because the theater kid and I are the only ones that are like playing Nine Square and like singing all these random songs, but like harmonizing and doing a good job.
Exactly.
And so it's kind of fun. It's fun to be around someone who is as interested in making noises as I am, which is not always, you know.
You really are a professional noisemaker. That's, I guess we both maybe.
I don't know if I get paid for it, but I sure do. I act like I get paid for it. I sure do.
Exactly. You might as well get paid for it.
Might as well.
You really could get paid for it.
I could.
You have been paid for it.
Lifetime, maybe like maybe $500 lifetime, maybe if we're
nothing
lucky.
To report on your taxes or anything.
No, not even like $100 once a year, maybe. Nothing. Yeah. No IRS, fair. Don't come by me, but. I think they say, I bet you have at least some point, but I think they say the a musician is someone who spends like $700 on equipment and $300 in gas to make $100 at a gig. There's just no way to make money on
that's
it.
That's pretty so fair.
You just got to do it for fun. You just got to be in it for the joy.
Well, see, I'm just so used to doing it for free.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, that when well,
you,
I do
you get paid
a little
at CSF,
bit.
But at church volunteering, you don't.
Yeah, it's like, well, like, and like, I've gone to different churches before to help, and like, I didn't expect
because that's
them
just
to pay
like
me,
a
and then they do, and it's like, whoa, that's weird.
That's just like a oh, we're all music ministers, we're all friends, yeah. And we sometimes play at each other's churches yeah. And stuff,
exactly.
And then every now and then we throw you $100,
exactly. And it's like, whoa, $100
whoa,
is that nothing?
That's
crazy,
great.
You know,
that's literally infinitely more than I was expecting.
It literally is,
it's
yeah.
Infinite amount more than
yeah,
zero.
It's quite the yeah,
it's a good little bonus.
I mean, hey, if you can pay your musicians.
I want to say like the big churches give you like $6,000 to play for Easter or something.
Dude. Oh, okay.
And like pay for your hotel
you
and pay for all your meals and give you the...
Caden, who does...
Oh, doesn't he get paid like $6,000 to play
like,
Easter or something?
He was telling me he goes around to different... There's like... I think it's actually Connection Point in Brownsburg he goes to.
Okay.
They like hire him out and he makes really good money because they have him come for like Christmas services. And
oh,
like,
I bet.
He'll Christmas do like five awesome, or six yeah. In a weekend and like...
Which is... Obviously, like a full time job, and then you get paid to do it. So
he gets paid a lot of money. It's a big
and he does have to report on his taxes
he
unless
probably
he doesn't.
He does. I don't
IRS
know.
IRS agents out there, if you want to find
you don't know his last
our
name.
Our friend Caden,
so.
I'm forgetting his last name, but
just like bleep out his name. And
beep.
Yeah.
Social security number. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. It's a whole thing. Yeah, I've been really enjoying watching. Like, there's this Lakewood Church, which is like this really huge church out there that is like. What's his name? Joel Olstein is kind of like the weird pastor guy is Lakewood Church, I want to say.
Oh.
So obviously there's some drum. Both of those drummers, I think, have a YouTube channel that drum regularly, so they'll
wow.
Sometimes upload them playing. It's pretty intimidating, but, you know, they do a good job.
Big churches like that, man, I don't know.
Yeah, kind of uncomfortable, yeah.
Just, it's like it's how, yeah. Not that big churches are bad, and they do a lot. They can reach a lot.
So, like...
But I mean, like, mega churches.
Like, I really enjoy Elevation Worship, but sometimes it's like, because they do yeah. Such a good job, sometimes it's like, I hope their hearts are in the right place. I guess we'll never
right?
know.
And like, that's my biggest thing is like, is discipleship growing in its like potency while your numbers are growing, you know? Which
right,
usually,
not already you're maxed out kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, usually it's not. And I think, like, you remember the multiplication effect?
I never read it. Unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
But I need to do that.
The whole, yeah.
But like, yeah, I'll do it. Some, but the whole people leading other people.
Lead. Yes, exactly. Right. So it's like the concept of like built, like growing out as much as you're going up, like mm-hmm. to support the numbers that you have, like, which is hard. I mean, it's hard work for sure. And I'm not saying big, like mega churches don't do that. I'm just saying, I think it's hard. It's harder when you get bigger to like make sure there's quality all the way down. And I feel like the number of people that
what do you mean by quality all the way down though,
like for instance, right, at CSF there's I mean we're not a church, so let me make that clear, we're not a church, but I mean there's 50 to 70 ish students that like are consistent. I would maybe even say like 40 to 60 ish that are like actually consistent and like are actually a part of this community, and there's like 5 staff members. And like 3 of us are like actually like pastoral, like quote unquote pastoral staff. And so like the ratio of like 3 people to like 40 people is 40 to 60 is around 20 ish per person. And so like that's, if you think about it like that, you know what I'm saying? But then, you know, the whole point of that book is like, okay, well, how in my position do I raise up people, or even, I mean, specifically in the context of CSF, right? How do I like invite alumni who are adults back to like also help me disciple all of these people so that the ratio isn't so drastic? So it's not 1 person to 20, it's like 1 person to 5, you know what I mean? And that's easier to do, I think, on a smaller scale like CSF or a small church or whatever. And I think it just gets harder and harder as you go. And so for churches like Joel Osteen's church or Elevation, or I mean, sometimes I'm even Passion. I'm not saying they don't do it. That's just my question is, how do you do that? How do you make sure that, you know, the person that just came for the first time 2 weeks ago and wants to get involved and, you know, like that's hard work. Mm-hmm. That's really hard work.
Right. Like 1 staff member for every 2,000 or something.
Exactly. And it's like, oh, that's a lot, you know?
And you show up and no one knows your name, and then you don't show up and
exactly,
no one cares.
Exactly. Isn't Joel Osteen kind of a fraud anyway?
I think he's sort of questionable, but hey, the music is super awesome, so what do you know? Like, yeah. Always these churches with their super awesome music, their professional bands, and then the super sketchy pastors with their $1 million.
Did you see, we surely talked about that Hillsong documentary, right? Did you watch that?
Hillsong, is this another like Rise of Mars Hill, yeah, like getting mad at the preacher for like being a stupid person?
Yes.
Is it like the preacher was abusing people or like taking too much money or like all the above or what?
It's a documentary on Hulu, I think. And it's like, what was it called? I think, I don't know.
The Rise and Fall of Hillsong.
I mean, really, that's what it, well, and it was like the specific guy, what's his name? He was like the main pastor at the New York campus. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Anyway, it was just another one of those situations and... Anyway, it was really sad.
Hate to see it.
It's very sad. Yeah, I hate to see it.
What is it? Absolute power corrupts absolutely, is that what they say?
Yeah, it does. It just brings out whatever's inside of you.
Brings out the bad.
Which is usually bad. So...
How can we avoid that, Joe? We gotta
Who will save me from this body of death? Only Jesus Christ.
That's amen. The one. Preach.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Anyway... Man, we always get existential. We don't even really mean to. It's just,
no, it's just, it's part of it, but yeah. It's good. I see you had it's personal pizza for lunch. Is that right?
Oh my gosh. Have I talked about AZIP on the podcast?
We're both big fans of AZIP, but I don't think we've ever, you know, mentioned them.
Let me just express my love for AZIP. Okay. The founder or the Italian Stallion, that's my go-to.
Yeah.
Big Zip always, because if you get it to go, you can eat some later.
Obviously. And, you know. Yeah, that's a healthy size box
there. It really is.
What was that, like $49?
In fact, it was only $10 and...
Hey, that's actually...
Something, like 75
wait,
cents.
Wait, that... this is going to sound like I'm like doing a joke. I'm not doing a joke, I promise. That size pizza seems very big for 10.
It was... It's large.
That
it's
seems a, very
so it's
large.
It's a Big Zip.
I'm looking at a reasonably large pizza box right now.
I don't know what the exact dimensions of it are, but it's very big. And even like the crust I got today was actually really big. I was a fan. But it's like, it's decent. I mean, like, look, in this economy, you're not going out and getting a meal for less than $10. That's unless it's economy, maybe Chipotle with a water, but like.
Maybe, yeah. You but know. Realistically, no.
Exactly. And so what I love about AZIP is that I feel like they... First of all, I mean, the concept of Subway for pizza is awesome.
Genius.
And literally genius. And it just is. But then, like, the fact that you can, like, what I do usually, like I said, I order either the founder or the Italian Stallion on a Big Zip, and then, like, they let you add as many vegetables as you want. So I just, like, throw stuff on there, you know, banana peppers, green peppers, onions, spinach.
Might as well, like, take them out, yeah.
Exactly.
Take them out of all their money
yeah.
with the vegetables.
I mean, I'm going to get my money's worth if I'm, you know, and... Anyway, it's really, really, and then I just get a water usually, and it's not, it's like $10.75.
That's fine, yeah.
Which is really, I mean,
that's
like.
Could be worse.
I think it's, I usually am way more full after eating AZIP than I am Chick-fil-A or something, you know, or even Chipotle. Although Chipotle, like, is so thick, it kind of sits in your stomach a little bit.
It does.
Bit.
I think Chipotle has a tendency to last, and yeah. AZIP has a tendency to get burned off in 10 minutes.
True, because a lot of it is the bread.
It's just all those carbs, and then you yeah. get the afternoon slump, and then it's like.
Yeah.
Had an interesting conversation today about like, what was it? I think it was the health benefits of like tuna or something. It was kind of an interesting conversation. Yeah.
Wow. I haven't had tuna since like,
no, it wasn't tuna. It was 14. It was a different type of fish. What was the other fish we were talking about?
Salmon?
It might've been salmon, but yeah.
Carp? Bass?
Bass. The bass was this
bass.
Yeah.
But I don't know anything
it's
about
good fish.
Fish.
Well, and then someone who will remain nameless, I was drinking LaCroix, and someone who will remain nameless said, like, you know that causes cancer, right?
Oh, my gosh.
You know that's, like, in the rat studies, like, they feed rats this chemical in LaCroix, and they die. And I was like, if that kills me, I was like, yeah, that's fine.
It is funny. You know how they say, like, the only thing that's meant to be in your lungs is air?
Right, and none of this tobacco
exactly,
stuff, and
right? Like smoking is bad for you,
and none of this car fumes that we're smoking.
Exactly, right? But it's like I almost feel like it's the same with liquid. Like the only thing that's meant to be in your system is probably water,
like pure water, not our tap water with all the weird stuff like metal.
I like tap water. I know it's
see,
gross.
Have you ever gone? I know you are a world traveler, Joe. Do you ever go to like Washington, Indiana, and do you ever go to drink their tap water and say this is the most disgusting thing I've ever had in my life? It's like, are they recycling it straight from the toilet into the tap? Because it just does not taste good at all.
You know, I haven't. Next time I go, I will pay attention.
But I mean, the theory is like you're used to your own tap water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, oh, Bloomington's so tastes so good or whatever. It might just be you're used to your own and everyone else. Because like back in the day, we went to Hilton Head a bunch as a family. And it's like, this tastes terrible because it's like, it's obviously they're using the salt water from the ocean nearby. And then they're trying to desalt it. But it just sort of has a weird aftertaste. Yeah. And it's sort of gross.
I mean, I have noticed that like before when I do travel, that like at first, like getting, I have to get used to the water. But then once I do, it's fine. You know? But water is the same. Water, I mean, water is water.
You're thinking that you don't, yeah, you probably don't want to have like Diet Coke and stuff in your system. It just, there's no way your system is designed to have Diet Coke.
Like all that, all the sugar and crap we put in our,
there's just no way.
I mean, even LaCroix, I mean, you can't be, I mean, I think maybe the only like acceptable alternative to water is like water with like IV, liquid IV.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like an additive, like a electrolyte additive to
adding the electrolytes. Yeah, that's probably fine.
Probably.
Depending on what fillers.
But again, it's just like, I don't put diesel in my car. I put gas in my car, and that's the only thing it's supposed to have in it, you know?
The diesel pump will not, or the diesel nozzle will not fit in your gas car.
Really?
It is too big.
I did not know
that.
They
assume that, you know, people are dumb and are going to try it, so it will not, I will literally not
that's
go
in. That's crazy. I've heard people that fill up their gas tanks with diesel before.
Actually. They would have to hold it the whole time.
Oh, maybe they just, yeah.
That would be natural selection at work there. But for the diesel, this system can only work one way, obviously, because the diesel is the larger one. So it can't accept the gas because the gas is small. The nozzle, like, it can only protect you in one direction.
Oh, yeah.
So they assume the diesel people are smart enough to not get gas. But they assume the gas people are stupid enough to get diesel.
Honestly, that's super
fair. And that's honestly correct. That's the correct decision. They need to protect people.
Because it'll ruin your whole engine.
Yeah, you have to drain it. If you did do it, I guess you just have to drain it and not run the engine.
Yeah.
Which is not good, and you don't want to do it.
Yep.
So don't do it, yeah. Have you seen those YouTube videos where it's like filling up a car with Coca-Cola? It's just like an old car. It's just like, oh my gosh. And it runs for a little while, but then all the gas is gone. It just sort of explodes.
Yeah, that's fair. Have you heard of like, I remember I watched, did you ever watch Chris Fix? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Hey guys, Chris Fix here.
Yeah, you know him. So
he has this really good video. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
It's like haggling for an old car. Where have you seen this like 8 video series where he's like, okay, finding the car online, like checking it out, looking underneath, looking all around, doing a test drive. Like he has a video on each part of the process. And at the end, he's like, don't lowball them. And then he's like, yeah, I'll give you $4,000 for it or something. And he lowballs them out in the video. And this guy's like, I don't know. He's like, sorry, final offer, man. And then he's like, he convinces the guy to give him the car for not very much money.
Wow.
And the whole deal is like the guy in the video series, like he doesn't want to be on camera, but so he just sort of is off to the side. Chris Fix. He's like, yeah, showing you how to do the test drive. He's like, okay, warn the person in the passenger seat. Like, could I test the acceleration? Just see if it works. Okay, I'll test the brake and just warn them.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he's got a whole system for getting a used car.
I did not know that. I have not seen that. I haven't seen that video series.
Link in the show notes.
Link in the show notes. Because we're good at Zachary's good at podcasting.
Because we care about our listeners.
We care.
What if I just didn't put it in there to prove a point? Like, I don't know where that video series is, guys. You just have to wonder. Like, I don't know where it is. Mm. We'll talk about it, but I won't put it in the show notes. No way.
So there's this one video where he, like, gets a repoed car. It was a car that, like, the police had taken control. I don't know, something like that. And it had been keyed, but it also had sugar dumped in the gas tank. And I was like, is that something people do? Like, have you ever heard of that before? Like,
your crazy ex-girlfriend comes and dumps sugar.
Yeah, dumping, like, egg yolk in you know, like, what, like.
Now I'm thinking you need to invest in, like, a locking gas tank.
I know.
I'm like, wait, what if someone pried it open?
Every time, well, so my car is, like, work. I have, like, a. Well, you have to open it from the inside of the car, but I guess you could probably...
I'm saying you could probably somehow force it open or crowbar it open or something.
That's true.
I was in a car recently where it was a newer car. I want to say it was a 2024 Buick model. Don't remember the model. It had some nice features. Not a fan. Overall, we'll give it thumbs down, but it had some features that were kind of nice. And so I was looking around and seeing all the quirks and features, as Doug DeMiro says, and the gas tank does not have a button inside, you just push on it and then it kind of opens out, and then you push on it again and it stays.
Mm-hmm.
So someone could very easily put eggs in that 2024 Buick.
I know.
And it's like, it would be none the wiser. Like, it's already a piece of garbage, but it would be, you know, non-drivable at that point, which would be a problem.
Exactly. It just freaks me out a little bit, you know?
So the moral of the story is, don't get it on anyone's bad side who knows where you park your car and knows how to get eggs and is not afraid to, you know, put them in there.
It's very true. Have you ever played that game with eggs? Have I told you this?
Oh, is this the bachelor party where you go and throw the eggs and they're not hard-boiled and you feel the existential terror and then the person is chasing you and you're worried and your heart's pounding out of your chest and then you get raw egg on you? I'll have to play that sometime. So don't put eggs in the gas.
Yeah.
What's the stupidest like things people do with their cars? Like I've heard not changing the oil is kind of a big one.
Changing the transmission fluid, trying to change the oil, but accidentally putting oil in where the transmission fluid goes.
That should be illegal. They should make the nozzles they should do like a square nozzle and then like a circle nozzle and like a triangle nozzle, like kindergarten, where it's like, it literally won't fit.
Honestly, they probably could do that.
Like a rectangle nozzle, like there's no way to mess it. And they're like, it's like the red rectangle goes here and the blue circle goes here. Yeah. It's like a children's toy.
Yeah.
They should do it that way.
Mechanics would be upset, but for the rest of us. Maybe that's why we should just all take our cars to the mechanics and not do anything in them other than drive them.
No way. Like the oil change prices on that? No way. They're just scamming you. That is true.
How much is an oil change now?
I don't know, but I don't know what it is now. I haven't been keeping track with inflation. It's probably more than it should be.
When I got my oil changed recently, I think I paid like $45.
Oh.
Now, I don't know though, because I'm not sure. I know I paid $45, but I'm not sure.
It depends on what gets combined.
Yeah.
Into the oil change, I feel like.
Yeah, and what kind of oil they do, for sure. Because I did mine a couple of times. Like, I did it myself, and it was fine. But, then you got to deal with the oil, and it's like, I don't know.
So, anyway. Yeah, cars, what you going to do? Can't live with them, can't live without them.
Can't live without them. I've been thinking maybe I should get a Prius.
Okay. I mean, you know, I don't love the design on those, but I would support you in that decision and would think that that would be a lot better choice than the pickup truck. I know it's not like, you know, you don't get to be like Mr. Sexy Joe out here with his like lady in the truck and everything, but I would say that you would get like 40 miles to a gallon.
See, that's...
And as long as your battery does not, as long as you don't get the 2008 model with the battery that goes dead and you have to get a different one, then you're probably fine.
Well, I've just been driving a lot recently.
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, yes, Joe, do tell. You've been driving a lot more.
Yes.
And as one does, when one needs to drive a lot more,
yes,
you begin to notice that the gas tank is beginning to lower.
Exactly.
And so you're needing to make some hard decisions in life.
Because here's the deal. It's no in between. It's either get something bigger like a Sequoia.
That gets 3 miles.
Or a Tacoma or something like that. That feels really good when you're driving it.
Yeah, there's no in between. Either guzzle tons of gas or be like the most efficient person out here.
Or you get a Prius with, I mean, it's like an inline four, right? It's like...
A what now?
Well, it's like you have a V6, I have an inline four engine.
Correct. An inline four engine, yes. I think it's just a...
So I feel like it's just either, it's in between. Well, there's no in between. It's either, it has to be the manly truck.
It has to be the Jeep or the truck, or it gets terrible gas mileage and doesn't work. Or it has to be the Prius that's awesome. And in fairness, not the most, you know, good looking car or whatever, but
yeah.
Hey Joe, here's a lesson I've learned in life, Joe. And you know, you really don't want me to get on my soapbox about this because I will do it. You know, I'll do
no,
it.
No, go.
But I think that living your life to impress others, buying cars to impress others, buying anything to impress others. Dave Ramsey didn't think of it, but he stole it and popularized it. The idea of buying things you don't want or need to impress people you don't even like with money you don't have. It's like, well, that's not a good plan.
That's fair.
My brief soapbox is just don't live your life to impress other people. It never works. They're never actually impressed. You work so hard, but it doesn't work. Yeah, that's good. So summer's going all right.
Summer's going all right. It's almost over, actually.
Oh, don't say that, Joe.
It's almost August.
It is literally August tomorrow. In my head, I like to... It's not tomorrow. What am I talking about? In two days, July 31st. And then, yeah, in my head, I like to do one of these podcasts a month, which is good, but we're getting it under the wire. But yeah, it's going by disconcertingly fast, which is fine because like summer is my least favorite. It's just hot and boring and there's nothing to do because everyone moved away because they go to college. So it's like, this is terrible.
Very true.
And then it's, you know, so humid, so darn humid out there. But,
it's not really the heat, it's the humidity.
Average dad. It's not the heat, it's the humidity.
Yeah,
it's fine. But I think, I liked it more when I was a little kid, but now I'm just like,
yeah.
Fall. Is it just me or is fall super short? Is fall, does everything looks pretty and it's nice and cool for like 3 days and there's like, hello, darkness, my old friend. And winter is here again.
Yeah, the nor'easter wind comes through and...
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
No, I completely agree. And that's why I didn't like fall ever, is because it just heralds winter. And I hate winter because it's so dead and cold and nasty outside all the time. But...
I love it.
I know.
The thing is, I always think I love it. The weather is nice and I'm not too hot, which is awesome. And then there's 3 minutes of sunlight a day, which is not awesome.
I hate that.
And so if only we could get, like, if it's a sunny day in winter, like, I'm usually pretty happy with that. But it's just, then it's dark at 2 o'clock and it's like, you know, we've got to be content here. We can't. But I'm wondering, like, you know how there's a bunch of old people that go to Florida and they're, you know, escaping from the winter and they're going to, because obviously Florida's crazy hot in the summer and then mild-ish but still warm. What is that noise? Oh, I see what's happening. Obviously.
I see what's happening.
Your face to face. Yeah, it was the cord dragging on the ground there. But so there's a bunch of old people that, maybe younger people too, that go to Florida in the winter because Florida in the winter is not miserably hot. It's just kind of warm and nice. Is my understanding of the situation there. You would know, you go to Florida sometimes.
Yes, it's true.
And then I wonder if I could do the reverse. Like in the summer, can I go to some place where it's always cold? So it's still pretty cool in the summer. It's just sort of moderate. Could I do that? So I could escape.
Snowbird.
I could escape in the summer and then come back for the winter. Like I could buy a timeshare, the worst investment out there.
Honestly, you get it for pretty cheap though, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably
go
so.
Go to like some wilderness, Antarctica.
Oh, some remote, just completely no cell service.
Like
just like
up in Canada.
Yeah, guys, it's yours. Only, you know, $10. Have fun getting there alive. You know, enjoy.
Yeah, and then come back here for the winter.
I could do it.
You really could.
I could. It would be good.
Honestly, if you were like, well, that's why I envy teachers is because they get
summers. Oh, they get all that time off.
Yeah, like you could just, I know, I think there was one guy, he was like a park ranger out in West. And we met him on a trip, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm a teacher. I just come out here in the summers and just."
And you said, "Lucky you."
And I was like, "Dude, that's awesome!" Like, and he was like this old guy and just enjoying his life. And
have you ever thought about how like teachers, when they are like, everyone's like, teachers don't make very much, which is true. They should probably make more for the amount they are put through. I agree with that. They should make more. No, not doubting that. But when you think about, I'm sensing a huge. But one must also realize that when you think about the hours they work and how much time they have off. They might actually be making more per hour, or when you actually look at the time they work and what they make, they might be doing a lot better than you think. Now, granted, if you're not working those hours, you aren't getting paid, so what you're going to do? But still, like on an hour basis, they might be doing better than you think.
That is true. Because they do, I mean, they work a ton during the school year.
But then they're off, completely off.
In the summer. Well, I mean, I know teachers who get jobs, but
they might. I always wonder what professors do, because like I feel like a lot of professors are paid at IU are paid reasonably well, and then they feels like they don't really have to do anything during the summer unless they have to like write their book and do research, which and like advance their field. Which if I was a professor, that would stress me out so much. I feel like I'd be, in some ways, I'd be a decent professor. In other ways, I'd be terrible. Yeah. But I would say that like the very vague goal of like further your field and like write books and do research feels very stressful to me. I'm like, what if I mess it up?
Yeah, how
that's so vague, right? Like here's the super vague thing. Why don't you like write books and you know.
Well, and I feel like I know a professor at Kelly, and, like, he, like, it's funny because he'll talk about his job, and the majority of it sounds like research and writing, and, but then he also has classes, like, he teaches classes, but it seems like, not like an afterthought, but like a, it's like the secondary thing he does.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, because he's so busy
and
with
so
the first
I feel like from their perspective, the job is an excuse to, like, do research and write papers and
the teaching is like okay fine
the teaching is the thing you have to do to get the job.
Interesting. So yeah, it's the people that are so excited to research, they're like man, I do this for free, but I guess I have to
for sure. And I think there are definitely professors that love teaching for sure, and I think I feel like IU would like work with you on it and be like, oh yeah, like if you want to, your whole job can be teaching, or like you can have like a more like research oriented role, or you know what I mean? Like, I feel like they would probably work with you. I don't know.
Right. And like, I don't know. I think God builds us to teach others. Like, I love teaching people stuff. It's always super fun. Yeah. Not that like, oh, I'm the expert in whatever, but it's like, if you truly have knowledge to give and there are people that truly, you know, want to hear it, I imagine it could be disheartening. It's like, oh, you guys, you know, I've only been out of IU for, you know, 6 months or something, but already it's becoming a distant memory, but like when we talk for so long about how like all these kids are on their iPads and like just scrolling on TikTok, paying zero attention, just doing the bare, like imagine that get frustrated because like they're not stupid, they know that the kids are playing that, you know, game where the 2 turns into a 4 and the 4 turns into an 8. Like they know that
2048. Oh my god,
2048. But what you gonna do? What is 20 is that the largest value you can get? 2048?
No, I think you can go to like 40. It's 4096 40 and then like 8. It's like 81.
Can you combine two 20/48s or how does
that
work?
It's like 81/92 or something.
Because then is there just one big block if you do 81/92 or how does that work?
No, I think it all just is like the same block.
Oh, okay. So
like it's the same size.
So is the winning, does the, you win the game when you have one block that is that? I think
you technically win the game when it's 20/48. But
you win the game when the blocks are 2, 0, 4, and 8. I've never played. If you could, I've, only, really? I've only seen other people play.
You never played 20/48?
No, I need to.
Oh my gosh.
Need to go live a little.
You're missing out, man.
I don't know if I am, so but. Fun.
Yeah, so it's like, you know the premise. It's like the, like twos and fours, sometimes eights pop up, and then you slide them together, you know? And then like the two twos become a four.
Yep.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, so you win when one of the blocks says 20/48?
One of the blocks says 20. So you have to slide the twos together to make four. Four.
But you don't want to overshoot.
Eights to 16, 16s to 32.
You can only do like to like, you can't combine like an eight and a four block to make 12 or anything.
No. It's just like, the same.
And you can only go up, left, down,
is
right? Because
the grid is 4x4. So it's a 16-block grid. And so you have to, like, be really intentional about, like, keeping, like, your, I try to keep, well, I mean, I don't, I'm not an avid 20/48er anymore, but try to keep, like, your, like, biggest blocks in the, like, one corner, you know, and you slide them into each other. And so, like, then, like, sequentially, right, you would have, like, I don't know, like a, like, 1024 okay. on the bottom right, and then like a 512 next to it, and then like you're like working to make the thing next to that a 512, so maybe it's like a 246.
And then you right do now. The slam the 512s together and yes. slam the
or a 256. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And so then you would like, and then like the most satisfying thing is when you get them all in one go, and it's like,
boom,
the
yeah.
the two twos or like the probably like 32s become a 64, become a hit another 64 and they become a 112 hit, and that 112 hits the 112 below it, and then that becomes a 256, and then that 256 slides into the other one, and then that becomes a 512, and then that 512 slides into the 512, and then you've got a 1024, and then those two slide into each other, and then you get the 20. Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
No better feeling.
It's better than getting that crack credit. Cocaine. Not that yeah, I would know, absolutely. But
not
it's
never.
My guess.
I've been told.
I have been told that getting all of them to line up on 20/48 is better than crack cocaine.
Don't ask me. Hi, my name is Joe. I'm addicted to playing.
I've been sober for an hour.
Did you ever play dots that on your phone? That was fun. All it was where it's like
the lines,
and you just try to draw squares and stuff. And when you draw, like, when you have, okay, wait, let's do a good job explaining this. So we've got a ton of dots on the screen. You can draw like yellow as long as the line can go in any direction, not diagonal, but you can draw. And then the grid falls down and new ones come in from the top to replace. But then if you get a square with like, you know, there's a green square or something, then it not only gets rid of the ones in the square, but all other green ones on the entire grid. Anyway, that's a fun one.
I don't remember that game.
Then you got Froggy Jump, you got Jetpack Joyride.
Jetpack Joyride.
You got Fruit Ninja.
Did you play Where's My Water? Did you ever play that game?
That sounds so familiar. Oh, was that the one who dug the tunnels?
Yeah.
Oh, that game was so good. Dude, I love that game. Awesome.
Played that one on my mom's iPod. Was that the, oh my gosh.
Was that the crocodile? Like,
yeah,
you needed to get the water.
It was
you had to like get it from the sewer water.
It was a Disney game, yeah, yeah.
Is that even still in the App Store?
It's probably like, I think there's a second one now.
There's probably like a bunch of things that trick the kids into playing.
Or like Cut the Rope. You remember Cut the Rope?
Don't get me started on Cutthroat. Is so amazing. Like, dude. I think I beat the entire thing.
Really?
I think I beat all of Cutthroat and Cutthroat Experiments. There were some ones at the end where you need like insane frame perfect timing to cut it the exact right time. But no, it was really good.
What makes so a mobile app good?
Like a mobile game? Yeah. Okay. Mobile game. Well, I think what makes it good is like just one more. That
yeah,
attitude,
exactly,
like,
exactly.
Just one more round. I think the reason that Jetpack Joyride was so fun to me was because there was always something you were striving for. It was like taking that productive part of your brain and harnessing it to an unproductive means of like getting coins on the screen.
Yeah.
But I think it's just that there's always one more thing. Like, oh, I've almost have enough coins, or I almost have this achievement, which will unlock this amount of coins so I can buy this jetpack so I can get that achievement so I can unlock this stage.
Yeah.
So I can, and you can have like tons of plans going at once.
Yeah.
And you can have, you know, this whole scheme worked out. And again, you eventually just break down and pay for like the million coin pack
using your
mom's credit card or whatever. Not that I promise, this is not a joke. I promise I didn't do that. Obviously
my parents would have freaking been asleep in the garage.
They would have, it would have been in the doghouse.
No, I'm just kidding,
sure,
but they wouldn't have been happy.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, you're just definitely tempted to. And I think I mentioned this, but I also played on my aunt's iPod, and she did pay like in Froggy Jump for all the good stuff. And I was like, well, this is amazing. Like, it just, the game plays itself and you can't fall down.
Exactly. Yeah. See, but then it's awesome. Not fun anymore.
Right. There's a balance where it's like there has to be danger. You can't just
abstract the danger. Balance.
Yeah. Oh, Joe, I wasn't gonna say that.
See, it's a fundamental fact of the universe. I'm getting over it. It just isn't.
Things can't be all the way one way.
Too much of one thing is a bad thing.
Too much of anything is bad for you.
Exactly. Which is just a fundamental principle of the universe.
But too little of anything is bad for you as well.
Exactly. So it's all about a balance.
My goodness.
I think what makes a good mobile game is this like slot machine addiction, you know, like
Let's Subway Surfers, gambling.
You know, and it's like you, this is literally a drug dealer tactic.
Yeah.
The first one's free. Like
unironically, the first one's free.
It literally, you download it for free, or maybe let's say like Subway Surfers, you get like pretty far and then it's like, oh, like revive yourself for free. Like, you know, and it gives you one.
Or just watch an ad. Watch a 30-second ad. Don't get me started watching the 30-second ad.
No, how far you get with that, doesn't count. If you get far with an ad, doesn't... Anyway.
Don't get me started. But yeah, first game is free. First revive is free.
Yeah,
first
jetpack is free. It gets you... Whatever. Literally, it gets you addicted to it. And then it's like... I think it either becomes one of two things. It's either just an addiction thing to like pass the time. And you pull it out at any moment. And that's what like... You're like, oh yeah, I'll just... You remember... Oh, it was called Balls with a Z. Do you remember that game? Where you like, it was like, you like shot a stream of balls up at like blocks, and then they had numbers on them, and you had a number of balls, and like you had to hit it with so many.
I think I might have played that barely, but keep going.
Anyway, it was so much fun. But like the big thing there is like, it's either like something to pass the time that you like do on the toilet, or... Or it becomes, and this is, I think, the other passage, like, pathway for a mobile game is the Clash of Clans style. Which, like,
a whole world unto itself.
A lot
itself.
Of people who still play that game.
Unironically. In college, like, in the year 2024, like, you should be getting a job and, like, having kids or something. And here you are playing
Clash of Clans. Here you are playing Clash of Clans and Clash Royale. It becomes funny, that kind of thing where it's, like, a decade-long, like...
Like, I can't give up my account. Yeah. My account has, like, these things that only came out in 2014
people sell their accounts on that game?
Oh, yeah, they sure do.
Crazy.
And there's like people that like, oh, this guy, when this guy retired, he made me the clan leader. So it's like this
big exactly.
deal.
Yeah, exactly. There's
like, oh, I'm only the co-clan leader. I'm not the co-clan,
exactly.
the real one yet.
Yes.
I don't, every time I see that game, I'm like, what the heck are people doing in this game? It's like a bunch of little guys running around and like, what's going on?
See, and that's...
It's like, I just prefer my jetpack. Like, I don't need little guys running around.
If they can convince you that it matters, you'll play it the rest of your life. You know what I mean?
Maybe. Like, I mean, I tried to pick up Jetpack Joyride again recently, and I did pay for like the coin doubler, which is like $5.
Unbelievable.
And you know, it's like, hey, I'm an adult. Like, I can pay $5. And I had fun for like an hour or two, so it was worth an hour or two of fun, in my opinion. But then I was like, this actually just isn't that fun. Like, yes, I'm getting different. The jetpacks look different, and I have the gadgets, but...
But it's not...
There's
it's
only
the
a couple
thing.
Gadgets that are worth getting.
Exactly. That's how I felt. Whatever. Did you ever play Adventure Capitalist?
Never. What's that?
You didn't play that game? It's what like with it? The money. Like, you have the money.
Is that like real life? Or?
No.
Different.
It's like, it's... I can't believe you never played that. It's like,
are you like building cities and stuff, or what are you doing?
No, it's actually very strange. It's an example of what fails the most at mobile games, which is that it's literally the UI is like, or the UI, the UX, whatever. I don't know.
Either way.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
The way you interact with the game is that it's literally just a list of things. And so you have like a lemonade stand, and like you have to push the lemonade stand, and then it like does
it,
and
then
you
make money.
Oh, that
sounds so much fun. I'm
and
already like thinking I'm going to lose
that enough
hours
times, and you like, then you can buy like, oh, an automator, you know?
Oh, these games, no, like, I'm so, I, these games are like cracked to me.
Right, dude.
I will be so addicted.
And then you can buy like multiple lemonade stands to like make more money.
And then you can buy like, hire like the kids next door to make it for you. And then you can like buy bigger factories
but
and more lemonade.
But it's literally just a list. And so it's like lemonade stand, and it's like ice cream stand. And
that
then
sounds
like,
so fun.
You know, car
so
wash. And
when,
then it's...
Am I correct in saying like you come back and that much time has passed? So like if you make 3 lemonade
exactly.
glasses every hour, you come back, it's 12 hours later, yes. and you've got your 36 lemonade.
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
But the problem with that game is that you get up into these like crazy
like
numbers,
7 trillion lemonade.
You know, and it's like...
And then
it's just
like,
not fun anymore.
It breaks your brain.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, and then you just leave it because it's like, well, I don't even know how to quantify.
Is there a way to beat the game though?
million, quadrillion, billion, you
lemonade
know?
Stand. Is there a way to like beat the game? Like once you get 99 trillion continue. Lemonade stands?
I mean, they make incentives. So like there's like, you can go to like different planets and like, there's different currency on the moon and
oh,
on
that,
Mars.
See, that still sounds so much fun. It's like, oh, we're going to colonize the galaxy. That sounds so much fun.
I don't know, man. It's not. Anyway, but that's I think, the downfall is like, you get to a certain point, if you don't make it hard enough to continually want to come back, which is why I think games like Cut the Rope or like the level-based games, you know, that gives you kind of a goal to continue.
There's an end.
Whereas
to it.
Like the endlessness of Jetpack Joyride like, or... Yeah. You know, Adventure right. Capitalist, or even did you ever play Smash Hit?
I don't think so.
Dude, that game was phenomenal. And actually, that I'm gonna exclude that from this list because that is just a phenomenal game. Oh my gosh!
What does one do in Smash Hit, Joe?
Dude, okay, so Smash Hit.
It's like Smash Brothers, but
let me tell you what you do in Smash Hit. So, the concept of the game is that you're moving forward, and you don't control. You're just moving forward, and you have like a certain amount of like balls that you can throw out, and you tap the screen and it throws the ball that way. And the premise is that you're moving forward at a rate that you don't determine and that you can't stop. And so when you run out of balls, that's it. You're done. But you can throw them and you can do, basically you can do two things. You either hit these little pylons and it gives you more balls, or you destroy these like glass things that you run in. If you run into them, you lose balls. And so the premise is you have to be conservative enough to like get enough to then have enough to throw back out to like make sure your path is clear.
And okay, I feel like I'd have to see this first, but it sounds interesting.
It's really, oh my gosh.
And so it's endless. Joe doesn't like it.
But it's not endless because there's levels, but it's like you can only, like you can't save your progress. And so you can like,
oh,
you get
so
to
if
like
you
level
die at
10.
Level 13, you're back.
Yeah, exactly. Get. But it takes a long time to like get there. That's like, crazy. I mean, I'm going to bet like 10 minutes to get to like level 10, you know, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but it
so
is a lot.
Is there a final
playing.
Level though? So it takes like 3 hours to beat there. The full game or something.
I never got there, but you can pay and then it's like, it saves your progress. I never paid.
No.
So
Joe's not going to, are there like really annoying ads or something? Sometimes it's worth it to remove the ads.
Honestly, no, there was never an ad to be like, hey, progress with an ad or like continue with an ad, which is what made it so good. Oh my gosh. I need to play Smash Hit again.
It was like a one-time purchase then?
No, or? It was a free game.
Oh, look at that.
I know. That's why it was so good. Oh, my gosh. Wow. I have not thought... Angry Birds? You remember Angry Birds?
Oh, I was so... Angry Birds Space came out.
Dude, Angry
and they
Birds
had like the little,
Star Wars?
They had the little homing. I didn't play that one. They had the little homing in Angry Birds Space, like the line that showed you where everything was going to go.
Oh, my gosh.
And they had the giant red bird that like destroyed everything.
Yeah,
its
that
path.
Was fun.
And then was there the Mighty Eagle that like automatically beat the level for you?
Yeah.
There was a bunch of good stuff in
yep.
there. And then they kept like coming up with new birds and like Angry Birds Seasons. They was like pink...
Yeah.
There's like this pink bird that had bubbles that could somehow like destroy the pigs.
Yes. This is a core memory for me. I'm sitting in my room on my bed and I'm listening to the audiobook version of The Hobbit on my CD
memory.
Player that I got. I got the CDs from the library and I'm playing Angry Birds Star Wars 2, I think. This is probably like 2014,
so
like October.
It's hilariously
I don't know why,
specific.
But I remember that very, very vividly. It was a great time.
So in your little Riley's emotions thing.
Yeah, that's core.
That's right there.
Did you see Inside Out 2?
It was all right.
Okay, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, no spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers.
It was good. Not as good as I want it to be. Probably not. Was it good? Yeah.
Okay.
Do I have some problems with it? Oh, yeah.
Really?
Was it just a kid's movie? Yeah, it's just a kid's
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, okay. Like logical, like logic
there's some
problems.
Logical things. Have yeah. you seen the trailer?
Yes.
Okay, then I can say my logical problem, which is where the heck were those guys in the first movie, the extra emotions that were in the trailer?
Well, that's, yeah. Well, I think that, don't they
and how have we
like,
not
pass
seen
that off
before?
On, like, puberty, essentially? Like it's...
Yeah, but, like, so the new emotion that's very heavily in the trailer is anxiety, and so she's never felt anxious any time before puberty.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I promise, I feel like she has, but...
Oh, man, did I feel anxious as a kid?
Maybe... No.
Could you even put words to it, though? I don't
no,
know.
No, I absolutely felt anxious as a kid. I
really?
Just wouldn't have been able to put words to it. I would have been like, something's wrong, but I wouldn't have been able to put words uh-huh. to it. You might not, Joe. I don't know.
I don't know. Because as a kid, you don't, like, it's you don't know what you don't know, you know?
There would be some nights for me in the summer where, surprisingly, in the summer,
wow.
where I'd be like, it's like 8 o'clock. I'm a kid. I'm supposed to go to bed at like 8 or 8:30 or something.
Yeah.
But it's like, I'm in my room and I'm not sleeping and I'm like, something's wrong. And like, I can't put my finger on what it is, but something's wrong. Did you ever have that as a kid?
I have had, where it's like, I do remember those.
Oh, yeah. I have to go to sleep, but it's like, I can't go to sleep. Like, I can't be in this bedroom right now. Like, yeah. Something's wrong. Do you ever have?
No,
like,
I don't remember that.
This might be like Zachary's lost his mind, or maybe every kid has this.
No, I remember.
Like, I have to get out of bed. Like, I know I'll get in trouble with my parents if I get out of bed, but it's like, something's wrong. Yeah. I can't be in this room.
Well, okay. This is also something, I don't know why, but I've said this on the podcast before. I don't have a lot of memories before I was like 10. Like, I don't know why. I just don't remember. And I think a lot of people are that way, but some people have a lot of memories, which I don't. So like, I think, and now if my mom was here, she would tell you all of the things.
All the embarrassing stories.
Yes. I would like run to their door every night and be sending her notes under the door. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah. But like, so yeah, no, I remember being freaked out for sure. And like, just knowing, like, I remember like we used to have a CD and we would play it every single night. And like, I hated that CD, to be honest.
Was it really creepy or what?
No, it wasn't. Well, there was one lullaby on it that like really, I still remember. And now it's like sweet to me because it's part of my childhood. But then I was like, I hate this CD. I hate it so much. Like, it was just awful.
Wait, what was this like scary lullaby? What was it talking? It was like, hush, little Joey, go to sleep.
Again, it's sweet now. And my dad will sing it and I'll harmonize with him and it's great. But it's do you know the Statler Brothers? This is a long
time. The Statler do what now?
The Statler Brothers.
Sounds familiar.
They sang backup with Johnny Cash, but then they had their own very prolific music career. So anyway, they had their
prolific lullaby CD.
My dad was a very big fan, and so is a very big fan. And we had a lot of CDs of theirs. It was like a lullaby. It was like, tell me why the stars do shine.
And Joe was like, I don't know. Why do the stars shine? I don't know.
I was freaking out of my bed.
So let me say this. What was freaky about it to you,
Joe? I don't know. I think it was just the fact that we played it every single night. Like,
was there this impending sense of, because I know what you mean, absolutely. It's like there's impending sense of like, oh no, we have to go to bed now. Like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do?
And it's dark, and it's like, I don't know. It's dark. Do you remember? Okay, like, I still actually feel this sometimes. But okay. I remember as a kid, it freaked me out. When it would get completely dark, like your eyes do the like, there's like stuff in your vision.
Don't get me started on that.
I know, like, and it freaks. I still, if I think about it too much, I still see it. Like, but I remember being at my grandparents and like we'd try to go to bed and I'd be like, I see stuff, Grandma, and she'd be like, go to bed. Like, and not like see stuff. That sounded.
I see dead people.
Just like, because you can, like, you're sitting there
that is so
trying
fun.
To go to bed, and it's like, it's almost like waves. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because it's all it is as your eyes adjust to the dark, right? Exactly. It's like, we'll come back to the scary thing in one moment. But that reminds me, does the, like, you know, when you would close your eyes and, like, as a kid, stare at the sun or, like, press against your eyeball? It's like, wow, I see the fourth dimension, mommy. This is great. It's like,
who knew we could get there just by doing this?
Who knew we could, like, be on acid just by, like, punching ourselves in the eye? It's like stupid stuff we do as a kid, but
every eye doctor is cringing.
Is literally rolling over in their graves right now. But anyway, back. But yeah, the spooky stuff. Go on. Was there any spooky stuff that happened at your grandma's house?
No, not. Well, she would tell us spooky stories to get us to go to bed, which I don't know.
That's just a way to make you stay up more.
Like, yeah, that I don't know. I think she knew what she was doing. I don't know. She also told us that the first one to fall asleep got the first egg in the morning, so that's like cooked egg, not like egg to the face. So that was kind of
operation was your grandma running over?
She was the kind of grandma that would be like, I would be like, at like 12:45 a.m., I'd be like, Grandma, I'm hungry. I can't go to bed. And then she'd like wake up. She'd like get up and like put tuna on a cracker. And like, yeah, she'd like cook an egg. She was something else, but.
Put an egg straight to the face. That's life, kid.
That's life, kid. Yeah. No, but I just remember being in her house looking up at the ceiling and going, like, just like these waves of like weird.
Because it's completely dark and then you're staring at the ceiling.
Exactly. And you're just, it freaked me out and I didn't know what was wrong. But as my point is, as a kid, I didn't know how to say what was going on. I was just like, there's something weird in my eyes. Like,
but yeah, you don't know because you're a kid.
Exactly. You just don't know because you don't know. Or like the first time I got a migraine, I was like, I have no idea what's happening. Crazy, you know, like something was wrong in my vision and I couldn't see. And then it was like, I was throwing up and I was like, why am I throwing up? And then I was like completely fine.
That's,
you know,
that's terrifying.
Those are the symptoms.
And it's like, there's no reason for it. Yeah. That's terrifying.
Now I know from the first 5 years of experience with it, those are just the symptoms. And I know now, you know, and now I can put words to it and say, oh, I'm having a migraine. But then it was like, I was fine and now I'm not. It's just, you just don't know as a kid, you know?
I have a handful of things that are kind of in that vein. They may not be as bad as a migraine. But the basement, even though it's like finished and nice at our house, would creep me out a lot.
Yeah.
I think every kid gets freaked out. But definitely, it's like, if I have to be alone there at night or like no one's home and I'm in the basement, it's like,
No, thank you. That's where all the monsters live.
The basement was terrifying as a kid. And then like, I'd sometimes like run out of the basement, like up the stairs. Yeah. And then like, it wasn't the thing where, oh, the light switch is at the bottom. We had it at the top and the bottom, so it doesn't matter. But even if the lights are on or off, it's like, I feel like there's like a hungry wolf or something in the basement. Yeah, it's going to like totally snap at me and going to get me. So I have to like sprint up the stairs faster than speed of light and slam the door behind me.
Yeah.
And then like, it actually freaked me out even like as an old, like maybe a 13 or 14 year old. I think it would freak me out now if I like wasn't ready for it. But like, if you were like kind of walking fast in the basement past one of the closet doors, like the fact that it's a small hallway, like the air that you generate on walkabout, like kind of rattles the door a little bit. Like not a ton, but just enough to be like, oh my God, it's like there's something in there. Like the doors of closet door is about to open. And I thought I was home alone.
Yeah.
But it's like, it just rattles just enough to freak you out because the basement is dead silent.
Yeah.
So that happens. And then like, if you close my room door, there's like a, whistle, like a loud whistle, almost like a wind against the shutters, like, you know what I mean? Like, like I can't quite do it, but like the screaming, like it's there for just a second if you close the door fast enough. And it's like, it's a house is a spooky place. Like, not anymore, because I'm smarter now. But if I was, like, as a kid, if I was in the complete dark, and it was never complete dark, because it's like there's a tiny bit that comes through the window, and there's like the fire. Sorry, my brother Owen's very pedantic about this. It's not the fire alarm. It's the smoke detector. Fire alarm does not, it's not a thing or whatever. But you have the smoke detector in your room, not the fire alarm.
Whatever.
The smoke detector makes the fire alarm, but it is not the fire alarm. So the smoke detector would beep and like do you, not beep, but you know, have the little red thing and sometimes beep. Or that's the fun. That's the good part. Like when you're a kid, you are, you know, completely terrified when there's just this false alarm. Like you wake up at 12 a.m. and either the best is the tornado siren or the entire house is going. The fire alarm from the smoke detectors is going off in the entire house. And you're like, well, I guess we're going to die now. That's fun. And they'd tell you all these things in like school about like, oh, just use the mattress and like jump out your, like feel the door. If it's hot, there's a big wall of flames and your family's dead on the other side. Oh, it's like, well, just throw the mattress out the window and make like blankets and a rope and slide down it. And it's like, I'm not doing that. I'm six.
Like, I'm just going to
perish. Burn, baby, brim.
Yep.
Anyway, I could, as a kid, can stare in the far corner of my room and convince myself without too much effort that there is either someone crouched down there, someone staring at me, or like a full-on skeleton or something in there.
Yes.
It's like, well, I guess I'm dead.
Yeah.
And then like something else that scared me, I like saw it on Reddit or something, was like, there was just this brief thing that went by that's like, oh, what's this like scariest movie or whatever? And it's like, it showed this like image for a second that like scared the crap out of me because it was like 12 a.m.
Yeah.
But it was like this like terrifying like undead like face or figure that was like under the blankets when you were like under the blankets too, and it's like getting rid of the safety of the blanket. I was like, well, guess I'm not sleeping to like it would be this thing that would like somehow appear under the blanket or something.
It's so easy.
It's kind of super easy to freak yourself
out. Freak yourself out in the dark, dude.
It doesn't like walk around Sherwood Oaks Christian Church at 11 p.m. It's like pretty easy to get really scared. Even if there's no one here, it's like you're never alone. It's like it's pretty scary. So it's fine. It's just your mind likes to play tricks. There's nothing there. Don't believe in ghosts. Don't believe in skeletons in the closet. Don't believe in that. But as
believe
a kid,
in demons, it's like, but don't believe in ghosts.
I feel like there was one more scary story as a kid. Maybe not. Oh, my dad would tell this story that like isn't that scary, but I guess I could tell it. Which is, I'll just tell the 5-second version. He would drag it out forever. But it's like, one night a man was like out with his friend.
Yeah.
And then his friend, then they were like driving to the campsite, but. And then it'd be like dark, obviously, and the fire's crackling, whatever. And he takes 10-minute pauses in between each sentence.
Yeah.
It's like, and the car breaks down on the side of the road on some abandoned highway in the middle of the forest or something. And the other friend is like, oh man, you know, we don't have cell service, but I'll like run and try to find help. And so he leaves. And then like time passes, and then the first friend is like, where'd he go? Is he coming back? I don't know. And then, you know, look, it's pretty creepy to be honest.
It is pretty creepy.
And then he's like, well, I guess I'll just kind of cold or whatever, so I'll just kind of like go inside. And then he hears, like, against, like, the roof of the car, he's, like, hears, like, a, like, something's happening. He's, like, what is that? I don't know. And then he, like, gets out, and then it's, like, his friend is, like, hanging above the car, and, like, his feet are scraping against the car.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's, like, dad would tell a story, and, you know, we were, like, what, 8? And then so we'd go to bed, and we'd be, like, well, I guess I'm dead now.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I will be haunted forever by this.
Have fun sleeping.
Have fun sleeping. Night, kids. And then just, like, slams the door in our face or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, pretty scary. But, you know, I'm much past that. Obviously.
Very obviously.
Obviously nothing scares me.
Oh my gosh.
Nah, scary stories. They have a place. They're fun. You can jump out and scare people sometimes. It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Boo.